Greetings to each one of you this morning. In the name of Jesus, his blessing, being here, hearing the opening, the children's lesson, even that little song we sang, I'm going to let my light shine. I will, by God's grace. It's a high calling that Jesus invited us to. Let your light so shine before men. And this morning, I was outside by myself, walking around at midnight on New Year's Eve, and I was thinking about last year, and I was thinking about next year. I got my phone out. I went to watch the clock turn to January 1st. I was thinking about next year. And since then, my heart's been, I was thinking about the New Year's resolutions that many people make. New Year's resolutions. A lot of that is good. Recommitment. Many of those are just secular, selfish things that people make. But my mind went to a verse, I was thinking about next year. I felt a little weak, is what I was feeling. I was feeling a little like, do it all over again, another year. And my mind went to the verse, give me this mountain. Give me this mountain. And that is found in Joshua chapter 14. I'd like to read 9 verses there. Joshua 14, starting in verse 6. Many of the things that those men faced, as we already heard in the opening, they're nothing new. They're nothing new. They were written for our learning. Thank you. Before we begin to read, we've all been sitting a while. Would you want to stand and we could pray together? And when we're done praying, I think we'll just pick up your Bible, and we could just read those verses together. Verse 6 to 15. Joshua chapter 14, verse 6 to 15. Let's pray, and then we can read those verses together. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the opportunity to be here in the congregation of the saints. Lord, you say that those whom you have cleansed are clean and they're righteous, the congregation of the righteous. And I know, Lord, that while we have a relationship with you, many of us have many needs, Lord. We need you in the coming year. And we don't just want to make an empty New Year's resolution for those needs, Lord, but we want to come to the source of strength. The source of power, that mercy seat, Lord, and find that hidden manna, that strength that comes from you, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray, God, you would just open the windows of heaven and help us to learn and speak to us by your Spirit. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So we could just begin reading here in verse 6. You could follow along with me. Verse 6, then the children of Judah, you can read with me together, lift up your voices. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, the Kenite, said unto him, Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land. And I brought him word again, as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren, they went up with me. That went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance, and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, ever since, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. And yet I am strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so my strength now, for war both to go out and to come in. Now therefore, give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Hebron for an inheritance. Hebron, therefore, became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And the name of Hebron before was Kirjath Arba, which Arba was a great man among the Anakims, and the land had rest from war. You may be seated. So, when we read that, we remember back in Numbers, those spies that we heard about this morning, that went, those 12 spies that Moses sent to Canaan to spy out the land. We can read that Hebron, or that city that Joshua said, give me that city, that's where they went first. They went there first, and when they came back in Numbers 13, we know that story, that all the rest of the spies except Joshua and Caleb, they brought back an evil report and said that there's giants and there's walled cities there, and we cannot do this. But Caleb said, all the spies said, surely this land flows with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. And they brought back fruit from there. Nevertheless, the people that dwell there are strong in the land. That is in Numbers 13:28. And they're very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. And then verse 30 of Numbers 13, it was Caleb that stilled the people before Moses, and he said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. We are well able. And those are the thoughts I had about next year, this year, 2025. We're well able. We can't do it on our own, but we're well able. And it was with that heart that I was seeking the Lord for just some encouragement from the scriptures to remind us, to give us some encouragement about our resources that we have in the Lord. And as we heard this morning already, Jesus didn't just die so that we could go to heaven. He died so we could be holy. He died so that he would have a witness on the earth. Jesus came to reveal the Father God. And then he gave that charge to us to reveal, and he equipped us with his Spirit. Those that come to him and confess that they can't do it on their own, and they give their hearts and lives to the Lord God of heaven through Jesus Christ, he gives them his Spirit. And he wants to guide us. But we hinder that Spirit. We can hinder that Spirit of God in our lives. And Caleb, at the end here, Caleb went straight to Joshua, and he said, "Give me Hebron." Hebron, I don't know exactly how to pronounce it. I'm going to call it Hebron today. "Give me Hebron." Hebron is still a city. And it was maybe like Jericho had the walls, and there was a lot of fierce fighters in the other places, but Hebron had giants. It is the same line of giants they believe that Goliath came from. And Caleb was so, he had such zeal and such confidence in God that he went to Joshua and he said, "I want that land. That would be the last land I would choose, maybe. The one that had giants, fierce giants." They renamed it. I don't know when it became Hebron, but it was called Kirjath Arba. Arba was the father of Anak. Anak was the head, was the founder of the Anakims. They called Anak's children and his children's children Anakim. So Anak was a giant, a line of giants that lived in there, and they were massive people. And it is very much, in character of the devil to go to the place, the very city where Abraham, back before he was Abram, God said, "This land that you see is all yours." It was right there. It was right there is where that happened. And he told him, "I'll give it to you and your offspring forever." It's not just coincidence that that's where the giants moved in. And today it's not, marvel not that the most sacred areas, the most heartfelt, the greatest desires you have for victory and peace and purity and love and grace in your life next year, there's giants will move in there. Satan will, he will attack that. Caleb said, "We are well able." He said, "We're well able." And he asked for Hebron before the giants were rooted out of there. He asked for that because you don't read until Joshua chapter 15. In verse 13, it says, "Unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh," Joshua 15:13 says, "Unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, he gave a part among the children of Judah according to the commandment of the Lord to Joshua, even the city of Arba, the father of Anak, which city is Hebron. And Caleb drove thence the three sons of Anak, Sheshai, Ahiman, and Talmai, the children of Anak." He drove them out. And it says that they had rest. They had rest when they drove them out. Today, we heard about walled cities and giants. Walled cities. And so Hebron was the place where God first promised Abram that this is where I want you to be. Abraham and Sarah lived there for many years, and they ended up, Abraham bought the cave. You remember the cave called Machpelah? The cave Machpelah. And that's where he buried his wife, Sarah. And I think Abraham is buried there with her. That's where Isaac and Rebekah are buried. That's where Jacob and Leah are buried. And many of the Jews believe that Adam and Eve are actually buried there. There's a Jewish, I don't know, sayings that say that was the gateway to the Garden of Eden. I don't know if that's accurate. But there was a reason when those 12 spies went out from Moses, that's the first place they went. They went to Hebron. Because God said that this is going to be your land. But 10 of them said, we can't do it. And maybe there's some sitting in here today. God said you can, but you can't. But it's not true. You can. The devil says you can't. The giants of Hebron say you can't. But God says you can. Caleb believed God instead of what he saw there. He said, we are well able. And that is why after they were in that land, it was many years later when they crossed the Jordan. It was many years later that they crossed the Jordan and they had those, you know, the victory there of Jericho, and they had the problem there at Ai, and then the victories after that, and Caleb was excited. He said, "Give me and my family Hebron." Hebron also is what became one of the cities of refuge. And I imagine the study that I did on Hebron was just touched the surface of what all you could say of Jesus' interaction and many other things that happened in Hebron. But as Brother Leroy shared with us, it doesn't make any sense. It didn't make any sense for Caleb to say, give me this mountain. Give me this hill country, another translation would say. Whereof the Lord spake in that day, this is, give me that land that the Lord spake of that he said I could have. Give it to me, Lord. And we all can look at our lives and say that we have much ground to gain. Many things we can learn. Because the Lord has designed, He desires that we not only find a place of peace and refuge for our own soul, but then we be equipped to make decisions for our children and our children's children. Decisions that will affect them. And decisions that are upbuilding to the church and the kingdom of Jesus Christ. We can't do that when we're just all, when we're in bondage to personal sin. We'll never be able to be used and take that land as Caleb did. Lord, give us the heart of Caleb. And let us go straight to that promised land and claim it. It is a place of God's promise. It is a place of eternal life. It is a place of peace in our heart, in our relationships. And it's still a city of refuge. It's under the shelter of the Almighty. But there's giants there. But we are well able. Jesus said, these things I have spoken unto you in John 16:33, that in me you might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. And for certainty today, Brother Leroy shared a lot of the things I was going to share, but you know, the purity and thought life, I think in our thoughts, we God calls us to sanctification in our minds. He calls us to sanctification in our minds. He calls us to to adjusting our value system, to understand what's valuable. He calls us to highly esteem the things that God highly esteems. He calls us to peaceful relationships. And you can fill in the blanks. Many things God calls us to that affect our thoughts. And we sometimes, I think, when our thoughts are in a tailspin, what we're ultimately doing, we're accusing others as the cause of our condition. And we need to stop doing that and start building ourselves up with strong and noble thoughts and grow in those. And then we're able to effectively address the conditions around us. Because conditions, you know, every person that has ever fell or sinned, not every person, but many people have an excuse. And circumstances cause men to think and say and do things they say. And I'd like to say today that I read a quote that said, circumstances do not make a man. In other words, circumstances don't cause me to do what I do. Circumstances reveal a man to himself. Circumstances don't make a man. They reveal the man to himself. So, in that area of purity in our thought life, those giants that want to accuse, those giants that want to tell me that, cause me to believe that either my way is superior to your way, or that my way don't, or my thinking don't matter. I don't matter. And either one is sin. Either one is pride. But we need to think godly. We need to think godly. The Bible tells us what to think on, the things that are pure and lovely and of good report. Think on these things. God cares. And we have, I would never say verbally that I don't trust God for next year, for circumstances and things. Maybe there's storm clouds. Maybe you see storm clouds. And I would never say verbally that I don't trust God. But with our lives and our words and even our countenance, I think we say that. That's what God hears. That's what God hears. That's what God sees when we are fearful of those giants. That's what he sees. We would never tell him that, but that's what we say when we grumble and when we struggle. And we're anxious. Here's another quote. Men are anxious to improve circumstances, but they're unwilling to improve themselves. Many men are anxious to improve their circumstances, but unwilling to improve themselves. So to come to that place where we say, give me that mountain. There is a resolve there. There is a dependence, a humble dependence on the Lord Jesus Christ. That You cannot buy it. You can't sell it. You can inherit it. You can only inherit it. He wants to impart it to us. He wants to impart to us that strength that comes from Him. I was thinking about the word humility. To come to God in humility. I was reading an article about it, and this person said that, kind of laid it out like this: God has given us a space. He's given us a space to walk in. And sometimes men overestimate themselves and they claim a bigger space. And we call that pride. And then sometimes men, due to circumstances and things that happen in their lives and failure, they underestimate themselves and they take a much smaller space. And that's also pride. And the challenge was, how about if you just take the space that God gives you and just work and walk in that, in freedom and in holiness? And there are times when we need to adjust the size of our circle. We need to adjust it a little bit. But as God points out things in our lives, we need to make adjustments, I think. And we need to humbly come before Him and make confession. And there's other times when other people come and point out things in our lives. And we need to do the same. We need to humbly say, weigh this in the balance of God's word. Maybe some counsel from someone else. He said this, what do you think? Is that who I am? We might need to make adjustments. And then there's a further testing. There's people come and they falsely accuse. They falsely accuse. I'm sure most of you have been falsely accused in your life. But still, that circle shouldn't change. Just keep your eyes on Jesus Christ. And then to go further, to pray for the person that falsely accused you. And then go a little further and do good to them. And those are areas that have giants in them that are not easily overcome. We ought to seek the Lord this year with all of our heart and soul and strength to seek Him. What does it mean to seek the Lord? I think it means to come before Him and to pray and to read His Word and to see how we can please God, how we can become more like Him. And the Word become flesh in our lives. The Word of God has always been, the Word of God created every living thing. The Word of God is powerful, and it is sharper than a two-edged sword. And there are some that believe that Adam and Eve would have had some degree of creation power in their, even in their voice, as they had this big garden and all these animals to care for, that maybe they would have also had, before the fall of man, that they would have been able to do things, supernatural things. And so, and then at the fall, our words at best fall to the ground without an enlightenment, a regeneration of the heart and the spirit by Jesus Christ. And so today, the original intent of God was that words build. And today, the words still do. We have a shadow of that. Our words can build and they can destroy, and we need to seek the Lord on those things. I'm often encouraged. I have been studying some of the wonder of the 5,000 that were fed by Jesus Christ and his disciples. And that is the only miracle that is listed in all four Gospels. And I have just been reading that, and why did all four of the Gospel writers decide that this was something I want to include in my record of Jesus Christ? And we all know the story, how Jesus was preaching. There was 5,000 men, beside women and children. And he was preaching to them, and they said, it was said, the disciples told him, these people are hungry, we need to feed them. And Jesus said, you feed them. You feed them. And we all know the story how he, and they said, we don't have anything. And he said, what do you have? And they said, we have 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Not much. And John writes that they were barley loaves, which barley loaves in the day, barley loaves were is what the poor people ate. So it wasn't even fine bread. It was barley loaves. It was just second rate bread. Jesus said, "Give them to me." And he took these 5 loaves and these 2 fishes and looked up to heaven, and he gave thanks, and he gave them back. And the disciples passed them out. It doesn't say that he multiplied these loaves and fishes. It says he gave them to the disciples, and they started to pass out bread, and it didn't end, right from their own hands. So we see there the overcoming, I think the overcoming message there, that if we'll give our lives to him, he will enable us. He will enable us. So I have this thought that we have all these people. Okay, 5,000 men, women, and that was a big problem. And here we have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes. That was the problem, and this is their resources. And so my question was, the other day I was thinking, what did Jesus say to give to him? What did he say to give to him? He said, give this. Give me the bread and fishes. He could have just fed all these people just like that. And so today, as we come before the Lord and we face those things that are too big for us, we cry out and we tend to ask the Lord to calm the storm. Oh, that's another thing. The disciples, when they were in the boat and Jesus calmed the storm, why did he get upset with them? What, I often wondered, why did he say, oh, ye of little faith, they were ready to die. And he was sleeping in the boat. I think what would have pleased him is they knew the power of God. There's actually a verse in Psalms that I read last week. It says, O Lord God of hosts, who is strong? Who is a strong Lord like unto thee, or to thy faithfulness round about thee? Thou rulest the raging of the sea. When the waves thereof arise, thou stillest them. They knew that. They knew that God is able to still the sea. If they would have gathered in a circle and held hands and prayed and said, Lord, we don't know why Jesus is sleeping in the boat, But we believe you can calm the storm. I believe they could have calmed it too. What do you think? They could have. Jesus might have woken up and said, instead of saying, "O thou of little faith," he might have woke up and said, "That was a good exercise of faith." He might have commended them. So God has, he is glorified. There's many things we can't do. Caleb, there's no way he could have killed those giants. There's no way David could have killed Goliath. But God helped him after he stepped forth and said, God is, well, we're well able. And so I think today as we face, as we look toward obedience, as we look toward honoring God, building the church, making decisions, we look at the task and it's great. It's great. But what do? We say, Lord, change the circumstances. Lord, change the, still the storm. That's what we tend to do. And God might instead say, what do you have? What do you have? Well, I can pray. I can read my Bible. I can seek to mend relationships. Those things I can do. We can have brothers meeting and talk and make decisions about things. And I believe God honors those things. He says, "Give me what you get. What do you have?" And God, I think too often we just ask God to change the storm. And God might say, "No, I want you to do it. I want you to do it. Come to me, and I'll help you take that mountain." But I think there's many things, more things that could be said about that. I was encouraged with those thoughts to think that we're not alone. We're not alone. And we can face the new year with confidence. We can make goals. We can say that we're going to forsake this and embrace this. And we can do that, and it actually happens if we're serious about it. If we're serious about purity, we will reach new victories. If we're serious about our relationships, and we make some, we understand that God is in those things. That's what God wants, and we read His Word, and we seek Him together, as families, as brothers, as husbands and wives, and as young people. We can find a way, the way forward that pleases God. And we can separate ourselves from that pornographic, evil, God-hating world. They don't have anything for us. And yet the world reaches into churches everywhere and people are drawn. They don't have anything for us. And maybe this year we need to spend more time on our knees, more time with the family at home, spending time together with the family, more time praying for the lost, and we can talk about these things. But when we take a step forward in action, God is inspired. I believe He's inspired with that. And He will honor that. And we can confidently say, "Lord, give me this mountain." As I'm inspired with Caleb. May the Lord help us to have the heart of Caleb. "Lord, give me this mountain." That's all I have. God bless you.